Thank you for listening.
You are listening to a Church Christchurch podcast. For
more information,
we hope
about
that you
our
are encouraged
and inspired
by the message
you are about to hear.
And if you're ever in
Christ
at one of our
services
every Sunday,
hello.
We'd love to connect.
Well, we are right in the middle of a series, or nearing the end of a series called Playlist. And Playlist is about 150 prayer songs, prayer psalms that you find in the middle of the Bible. And all of these different poems, they're categorized in different ways. And the category that I want to share with you this morning is around psalms of praise. Psalms of praise. I wonder if you've ever had the thought where you've reflected back over a season in your life and you've thought, man, I did not know how good I had it back then. You've thought that. Maybe you think, man, I didn't know how good it was when I was a teenager and didn't have to pay any bills. Or I didn't know how good it was when I didn't have children. I could spend all my salary on myself and nobody would complain. I think, oh, this is just fantastic. And for me, when I look back, and I think of my university years. In one particular year at university, I had a class that finished at 12 p.m., and me and a bunch of mates didn't have another class until 3 p.m. And so instead of studying, which would have been the wise choice, we would all hang out together two or three times a week, and we'd just hang out for 3 hours at a time. It was wonderful. We just all hung out and talked a lot about stuff, and one of the things we talked about was how great it was going to be when we graduated and could finally earn some real money. We'd been broke for a long time. We'd talk about, hey, it's going to be so great when we actually get to earn a salary. And now I look back and I think to myself, man, you didn't quite realize how good you had it back then. Having 3 hours a day, multiple times a week, just to hang out with your mates, no responsibility, that was awesome. And one of the things I think we can all identify with is the challenge that by the time you understand how good or how blessed or how wonderful a season is, it's often passed us by. It's often passed us by. And the problem that we have when we apply this to our relationship with God is that if we're waiting for praise or the goodness of God to overwhelm us, or love for God to kind of just naturally bubble up, if we wait to that moment, often we miss the moment because it's in the rearview mirror. If we put all of our hope on wanting just these things to naturally pop up, then often we miss the time. The Bible teaches us to praise God, but the challenge we face is often it doesn't naturally come up. Praise doesn't naturally isn't overwhelming. We don't feel grateful. We don't feel full of praise. And so the question is, how do we shift our perspective so that we're able to walk into praise, walk into gratefulness and gratitude to God, and not let the moment just pass us by? Because we all know that life is not a straight road. We might find ourselves in situations where life circumstances are not what we planned. We hoped that a particular life stage would walk into our lives, but we haven't had that experience yet. Life stages don't arrive when we want them to arrive. We might find ourselves with an unexpected illness or a tough time in the area of mental health, and life plans that you made had to be put on hold. And a perspective of praise just does not feel like it's just naturally coming to the surface. We might have even adopted habits which tempt us to look at other people and think, man, they've got it going on. We might spend too much time on social media and looking at other people's lives. And so as a result, it's tempting to not have praise just bubbling up out of our lives. No, gratitude doesn't necessarily feature in our thinking. But the Psalms paint a really interesting picture for praise. In fact, one of the scriptures that I love the most in Psalms comes from Psalm 42, verse 5, where David is reflecting on what's going on for him. And he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" He sees to him, he looks at his own life and he says, "I'm not in a good place. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. David's saying that the praise is not naturally coming to the surface, but he's finding himself in a position where he can actually give orders to his soul to praise. You know, God created us and our brains with choice over how we think and feel. Not maybe not 100% choice, but there's a large degree of choice over what we experience and our emotions and our perspectives. In fact, I was researching this week and I found that there's a part of your brain called the reticular activating system, the RAS. And this is put here by God because there's all kinds of information coming in through your eyes. Most of it you don't notice. There's the color of the person's shirt who sits in front of you. There's the noise of the traffic as it goes past. You didn't notice it until I just mentioned it. And now you might be listening to it. And there's the particular smell of the room or the fact that somebody is humming a tune. And there's all these bits of information that are coming into you. Most of it is irrelevant to your experience. And so God has placed in your brain this RAS, and its function is to filter out all of the irrelevant information and bring to mind the bits that line up with where you're at right now. Now, why is this important? Because this particular part of our brain focuses the information that we see in a particular direction based on what we're already going through. We were created to be able to control this part of our brain so that all of the information we see, we can focus. An example might be that we might feel hard done by, and so all of the bits of information that we see in the world reinforce this idea that we are hard done by, and we're excluding things that demonstrate the glory of God, the power of God, the fact that God is actually with us. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says, set your minds on things above. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. We can set our minds on things above so that all of the information that we see in our day-to-day lives reinforce the perspective of faith that God is in control, that he is with us. He has not abandoned us. You might see this in someone's life where there has been offense, and potentially even offense that was intended, significant offense in somebody's life, but they've become extra sensitive to other people's words, and it's because this part of the brain, the RAS, is focusing them down the self-preservation, and now they're seeing offense whether people intended it or not. We might feel like we deserve more at work. We might feel like we deserve more from a relationship or in the home, and so we naturally filter out the bits of information that show us that we might be doing well, and instead filter into our minds the bits of information which suggest that we're being shortchanged or rejected or disrespected or dishonored. The Bible says that we can set our minds on the things above. And the way to do that, I want to suggest to you today, the way to do that is to choose to praise God. Choose to praise him. If you're finding it hard to naturally praise God, if life for you doesn't lend itself to overwhelming feelings of love and gratitude, I want to share with you today just three things that the Bible teaches about praise that can really help us this morning. The first one is this, is that praise is a choice. It's a choice that we can make. We might not be able to change the way we feel, and we might not be able to immediately get past an offense, but we can make a choice to immediately pray a prayer of praise or sing a song of praise to God. You can make that choice. We won't make it right now because things are going to get would get weird, but you can go home and you can just flick on Spotify and you can play and you can sing along. You can make that choice. It might feel silly to you to be singing in your car to when nobody's around, or to be out walking, singing along. But it might feel silly, but it is a choice that you can make. You know, the prophet Habakkuk lived at a time, I'm not actually sure how you say that name properly. I always just say Habakkuk. So as long as you say a name from the Bible with confidence, people think you're doing well. So Habakkuk lived at a time, and he lived at this time when Israel had been invaded. And they'd been invaded before, but this time they'd been invaded. Invaders had conquered the people. They'd carted them off to the evil empire of Babylon. And the general feeling was that God had abandoned them. You know, many of us have felt abandoned in life or let down by God. And this kind of turmoil, Habakkuk says, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, he says this: though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. He's saying that the people have rejected them, that this invading army have come and captured them and rejected them. And God feels like he's rejected them. And even nature itself is rejecting them. Things that should be natural are now no longer happening. The trees are no longer budding. The grapevines are no longer producing grapes. Everything's gone. This is a cost of living crisis. Incredible. A full-scale recession has hit the land. And he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, and God my Savior. Bringing praise to God in the middle of a storm is a choice. And the question is, will you make that choice? Will you choose to praise God in the middle of your storm? My friend's mum had this habit of saying praise God in traffic. We'd be driving down the road and we'd get a green light. She'd say, oh, praise God. And then we'd get a red light. She'd say, oh, praise God. And we'd be driving down the motorway and you hit traffic. In Auckland, that's a common experience. And she'd say, praise God. Praise God, there's traffic. And I thought it was a bit strange at the time. I probably still think it's a little bit strange. But I also think that she had a point. Because the point is, no matter what's going on, I'm going to choose to praise God. I'm going to choose to praise God. You know, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon says this. He said, it's well to praise God for his mercy when you're in health, but make sure you do it when you are sick, for then your praise is more likely to be genuine. If you want to have the opportunity of experiencing a higher level of praise, then your chance to do it is when you're sick. It's a choice. Can you get my water? I'm just starting to get a bit dry. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for that. Cheers. Praise God, he's dry. Yeah. No, that's all good. It means I'm probably going to finish shorter. We'll have more morning tea. Praise God for that. Second thing is this, is that praise builds my faith. Our faith is our ability to trust God in the good times and in the bad times. And often in life, when we face tough times, what we experience is like a fog. Like a fog has just rolled in from the Waimak. And what you can see in your life, you can see something in front of you, but you can't see the full picture. You can see something in front of you, and usually that's the thing that looms, right? The problem that you're facing. But you can't see the whole thing. When you lose sight of God's goodness, it doesn't mean it's not there. You've just lost sight of it. If we lose sight of God's goodness and kindness, then it's hard to have faith that he'll make good out of every situation. If we lose sight and begin to doubt the power of God, it's not a big jump to go from there to now being feeling like you have to strive and work things out in your own spirit, in your own effort. If we lose sight of God's all-knowingness, then we can be tempted to feel like we have to be the ones in control, because we don't emotionally identify with God as being the one who is ultimately in control. It's a human experience to lose sight of God, but the solution that can break us out of this is to praise him. To praise him now then becomes a confession of your faith. You're saying, I'm not experiencing the power of God in this situation, but I'm going to praise him that he is powerful. And that becomes my confession of faith. I say, God, I believe that you are powerful, that one day we will come out of this, that you will break through in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, you are still with me, even though I don't sense you in this moment. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The scripture says that we can choose to be overflowing with thankfulness as a part of continuing to live in Christ, to build up our faith. You know, I was reading this week, I read this quote from John Ortberg, who's a pastor and an author, and he was talking about why he worships. And this is really key. He says, I need to worship because without it, I can forget that I have a big God beside me and live in fear. I need to worship because without it, I can forget his calling and begin to live in a spirit of preoccupation. I need to worship because without it, I can lose a sense of wonder and gratitude and just plod through life with blinders on. I need to worship because my natural tendency is towards self-reliance and stubborn independence. He's saying, yeah, I worship God because he's great and he deserves to be worshipped. But also, I worship God because without my worship to God, my life actually just doesn't make much sense. If I don't worship, fear invades. If I don't worship, insecurity invades. If I don't worship, selfishness invades. And so worship and praise become something that actually stirs us towards growth, stirs us towards focusing on what really matters. It builds our faith. Here's a question that I don't want you to answer. It's rhetorical. We're not going to have a show of hands, but how many people here in your minds have had an argument on the way to church with your partner? Not today, maybe today. This used to happen to us. And it sounds like Hammond's onto the same good thing that we have. Sarah and I take separate cars now. But praise God. I think it's because we're emotionally more resilient than we were before, but it could also just be that we take different cars and arrive at different times. But you ever have an argument, and then you get to church, and before you enter church, the topic of debate feels so vital, feels so important, feels so significant that we couldn't possibly move forward without having this thing thrashed out. And you get to church, you're still frustrated and maybe upset, and then there's someone up the front, they're praising God. And you know in your heart that if you really want to join in, if you want to choose to join in, there's really only one thing to do. And that's to have a quiet word to the person who you came with, who you love dearly, have committed your life to, and quietly apologize in order to be able to enter into praise. Now, if you think about that experience, I want to point out to you what's really going on. What's really going on is praise is building your faith. Praise is building your faith because faith is practical. What you're really doing is you're choosing to forgive and choosing to move on as motivated by praise. As knowing that the call of God on your life is to enter into his presence and sensing that this thing is now holding you back from that. So the only way to grow your faith, the only way to build your faith in that moment is to quietly apologize and enter into praise. Your faith is being worked out in real life with real people and is being built up as you are praising God. And so if you find it hard to genuinely praise God because of an offense that is in your world, I want to suggest to you that it may be a sign that the Holy Spirit is calling you to, as far as depends on you, to resolve that offense. It's praise calling you to grow your faith and build your faith. My final encouragement to you today is that the power of praise, God unlocks things as we praise Him. God unlocks things as we've praise Him. Because up till now, what we've talked about is the power of God being present, and now praise is giving us the perspective to see it. The God who was there all along, the power who was there all along, the forgiveness who was there all along. But it's more than just that. That's powerful on its own, but it's more than just that, because God actually unlocks things in the kingdom as you praise Him. As you praise Him, there are things that you did not used to carry that now you carry as triggered by praise. That there is power that descends from on high on your life that you did not carry before. It's not like it was there all along, but it actually comes from God and descends into your life through the power of praise. Praise is not just a response for us to choose, but a weapon for us to wield. Praise is not just a response, but it's a weapon. You see this in Acts chapter 16, and Paul and Silas have been put in prison. And Paul and his ministry would often get put in prison because he'd be preaching and people wouldn't like it and something would happen. And in this particular situation, he did something that some local merchants didn't like. So they raised up a riot and he got put in prison for this. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I find it fascinating that the chains came loose, but the roof didn't cave in. In fact, I actually wonder if that's a word from God for somebody today, is that if the power is enough to shake the chains, surely in the natural it's enough to bring the roof down on them. But God's power was providential. It was focused on the things that were binding them. God unlocks things as we praise Him. As a church, one of the things we say as an Elam church is that we expect breakthrough, which means that we don't just expect perspectives to shift and people to be encouraged. That is key to what we do, but it's not just that. What we expect is for when we lay hands and pray for people, we expect miracles. We expect breakthrough that would not have happened had we not gone before God and asked, God, we need a miracle right now in the name of Jesus. So as a result, we start every church service with songs of praise. We don't do that because it's a nice lively tune that we can find our seats to. We don't do that because it's a nice little buffer so that people who arrive 3 or 4 minutes late can still capture the heart of worship. We do it because praise unlocks something in the kingdom of God. Praise is a weapon for the Lord, and we open our worship with praise, expecting breakthrough. So as we close this morning, I invite the keys to come. I want to ask you to think about somebody in your life, maybe not right now, but somebody you've come into contact with who is sweet, has a sweet spirit. It might be that they've been through a lot of adversity. They've been through adversity and they've been through challenges and they've come out sweeter. They've come out of that kinder. They even seem happier. They're more grounded in who they are and in their faith in God. And I can think of some very special people in my life. My challenge to you is this. God is inviting us all to become more and more like that, where we are sweeter instead of more bitter, where we are lighter instead of weighed down, where we understand that we are forgiven and we forgive others instead of keeping records. Part of how we choose to get there is to choose to praise. It's to praise God. It's a choice. Builds your faith. And God unlocks things in your life as you praise Him. And as we close today, we've been talking about trusting God. And I wonder if there might be some people here or you're watching online and you've just got the sense, even a really light sense. Doesn't have to be a strong sense. You've just got a sense that trusting God with your life is a decision that you need to make. You might be here and you got that sense and you're saying to yourself, you know what, Pete, I think that's true for me, but I'm not prepared to do it. I want to encourage you, do it. It's the only way you're going to come into contact with the God who loves you. It's the only way your life is going to make sense. God has designed us to be trusters in Him, children of Him. So I want to tell you today, God loves you so much as His own children, His own child. And all of us have messed up and made mistakes. Some of us have messed up and we're pastors. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. But the Bible says that the wages for our sin, for our rebellion, is death, which is separation from God. What does God do to people who willfully separate themselves from Him? Well, He tragically respects their decision, because we all have freedom to choose. But to all who would accept it, He has provided a way for us to trade our rebellion for His holiness and His goodness. To all who would accept it and allow Jesus to lead and to guide us.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Church Christchurch podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit www.elamchristchurch.org or connect at one of our services every Sunday at 10 a.m.